booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is Friday, TGIF, time for news. There's quite a bit happening around the world in just about every category. We'll hear traffic and transit on the sevens from Joe Nolan, weather from Lloyd Lindsay-Young, sports from Matt Sapienza, the Jet Set Juliet Travel Report with Barry Goldsmith. But first, let's get things started with the top five at five.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
The weeks-long search for Brian Laundrie, a person of interest in the death of girlfriend Gabby Petito, while the couple was on a cross-country road trip, came to an end yesterday as human remains in Florida, found in a Florida nature preserve, were confirmed to be his remains. The remains, a backpack and notebook, belonged to Laundrie. They were discovered Wednesday in a Florida wilderness park, according to the FBI. The area where they were found had been underwater during earlier searches. The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention signed off on a mix-and-match COVID-19 booster shots approach last night, meaning clinics, doctors, and pharmacies can begin giving them out today, meaning if you received Pfizer for your first two doses of the vaccine, there's no reason you can't get a Moderna booster. If you received a Moderna vaccine, there's no reason you can't get a J&J booster. A woman has died and another crew member was injured in an accident involving a prop gun that misfired on the set of an Alec Baldwin Western being filmed in Santa Fe, according to a producer of the film. The Santa Fe County Sheriff said deputies responded to the set of the film Rust, starring Alec Baldwin and Jensen Ackles, at around 1:15 p.m. Mountain Time, which was filming at Bonanza Creek Ranch. It was reported someone had been shot on set. You can bet we'll be hearing a lot more about this in the days to come. This is the front page of both of New York City's tabloid newspapers. The NYPD says a team of robbers recently targeted an 85-year-old man in the Kingsbridge section of the Bronx. Tuesday's violent attack was captured on surveillance camera, and residents are calling it a cowardly crime. I am sure Juliet is missing her opportunity to comment on this. Queen Elizabeth was hospitalized Wednesday night for preliminary investigations, a Buckingham Palace spokesperson confirmed to ABC News. The Queen was back at her desk at Windsor Castle by Thursday afternoon after undertaking light duties, hosting a reception for leaders, including Bill Gates and John Kerry, at Windsor Castle on Tuesday. The next day, she was forced to cancel a trip to Northern Ireland as her medical team advised her to get some rest. And that, my friends, is your top five at five. Well, yesterday was a rare day in the sporting world. It was something that happens about three or four times a year, something called the sports equinox, meaning all of the major sports leagues were in action on the same night. And Matt Sapienza will break all of those sports down for you coming up at 5:15. Coming up in just 3 minutes, we'll tell you what's happening on the roads with Joe Nolan. And we will bring you the weather with Lloyd Lindsay-Young shortly. But first, here's what's trending.
It's trending.
An Ohio woman who has spent nearly two decades in prison on charges of killing a baby in her care could be released as soon as Thursday after new evidence in the shaken baby syndrome case led to charges being dropped. Now, I'm not sure if this is yesterday, Thursday, or next Thursday. We're going to investigate that to get the latest on that Ohio situation. And the evidence now shows in this case that the injury that killed the 9-month-old girl in the care of Kim Hoover Moore happened days before Hoover Moore noticed problems with the baby in her home daycare in 2002. That's according to a court filing requesting a new trial. Hoover Moore was convicted at trial the following year based on a coroner's assessment that the child, Samisha Benson, had shaken baby syndrome. And an Alabama man who avoided execution in February was put to death Thursday for the 1991 killing of a woman who was abducted during a robbery and then shot in a cemetery. Willie B. Smith III received a lethal injection at a prison in southwest Alabama. He was pronounced dead at 9:47 p.m. local time. The execution went forward after the Supreme Court rejected a request for a stay by his attorneys, who had argued that the execution should be blocked on grounds that Smith had an intellectual disability, meriting further scrutiny by the courts. And Netflix employees who walked out Wednesday in protest of Dave Chappelle's special and its anti-transgender comments were joined by allies who chanted "Trans Lives Matter," getting pushback from counter-protesters who also showed up. A pre-noon rally at a Netflix office studio complex drew about 100 people, most on the side of an estimated 30 workers at the streaming giant that joined in afterward. Some were willing to identify themselves as Netflix employees, but all declined to provide their names. Joey Soloway, creator of the groundbreaking Emmy-winning comedy Transparent, was among the speakers at the rally. And trending around the world, 2 months after the Taliban seized power in Afghanistan, one of the country's most prominent female leaders, a former parliament member, candidate for president, and a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, is visiting the UN not as a representative of her government, but as a woman in exile. In an interview with the Associated Press, Fawzia Koofi called for humanitarian aid sent to Afghanistan to be contingent on the participation of women in its distribution, as well as free and safe travels for Afghans into and out of the country. All right, 5:08, let's get a look at weather with Lloyd Lindsay Young, a weather legend. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Syosset, Long Island. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsay Young with your WABC weather this morning. Listen, it's pretty mild out there for late October. Temperatures are running in the mid to upper 50s right now. We do have a weak cool front that will be approaching the metro area, tri-state, later today. No rain expected. You'll see some clouds. Yeah, it'll be a little bit cooler, but still pretty decent for this time of the year. Maximum temperatures around 60. Overnight lows in the low to mid 50s. And for the weekend, temperatures a little bit above normal, not too shabby at all for this time of the year. Looks like low to mid 60s for all of the tri-state area through the weekend. Our next shot at any rain looks to be maybe by Monday night and Tuesday of next week, but the jury is still out on that. Hey, Lloyd Lindsay Young on board. Happy to be with WABC and your Friday morning weather.
Thank you, Lloyd, and we'll hear more from Lloyd on Monday. Election day to determine New York City's next mayor is less than 2 weeks away. And candidates Eric Adams and Curtis Sliwa sparred in their first debate on Wednesday, but it was back to the campaign trail yesterday, where Sliwa blasted Adams for what he calls a war on vehicular traffic. He wants to move major road construction to nighttime, and he's advocating for the elimination of speed cameras. Sliwa says he crushed Eric Adams in the debate, but Adams says otherwise. He seemed irritated with Sliwa on several occasions for breaking debate rules and time allotment. Adams also called Sliwa a mini-me of Donald Trump, even though the former president has not been involved in this election. Sliwa also claimed Adams won't shake his hand, and he says he'll see if there's a handshake or not at the next and final debate on Channel 7 next Tuesday night. By the way, early voting in the mayor's race and in all the races in New York, including the five ballot propositions, begins tomorrow. If you're a New York City resident, you can call 311 to find your early voting location, or you can go online to vote.nyc. I'm going to be voting this weekend, and if you want to avoid the election day lines and not wait till the last minute, you can vote as well. The University of Southern California in Los Angeles has suspended a fraternity following reports of an alleged sexual assault and possible drug-facilitated sexual assaults at its house. That's the word from school officials there. The university has received a report of sexual assault at the Sigma Nu fraternity house. The school, in an alert posted on its Department of Public Safety website, site on Wednesday said that the university also has received reports of drugs being placed into drinks during a party at the same frat house, leading to possible drug-facilitated sexual assaults. The university reported the information to the LAPD. According to the alert, which encouraged anyone with information relevant to the crimes to contact the school's Department of Public Safety and Police. The White House and Democrats are hurriedly reworking key aspects of President Joe Biden's $2 trillion domestic policy plan, trimming the social services and climate change programs, and rethinking new taxes on corporations and the wealthy to pay for a scaled-back package. The changes come as Biden more forcefully appeals to the American public, including in a televised town hall yesterday, for what he says are middle-class values at the heart of his proposal. Biden mentioned during the event that the challenges he faces in wrangling the sharply divergent factions in the Democratic Party. And with an evenly divided Senate, he can't afford to lose a single vote. It's currently a 50-50 Senate, and in the event of a tie, Kamala Harris would break the tie. But currently there are two senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, at least, who have withheld their support. And a neurologist pleaded not guilty Thursday to federal charges alleging he was a serial sexual abuser of women who had gone to him for help with debilitating chronic pain. Dr. Ricardo Cruciani entered the plea in federal court in Manhattan. He was expected to be released into home detention with an electronic monitoring bracelet once he posts a $3 million bond secured by three properties and signed by three other people. A lawyer for Cruciani didn't immediately reply to a message seeking comment. And we're also keeping an eye on this I found pretty interesting. A new poll is revealing how New Yorkers are feeling about the COVID-19 pandemic these days. According to the Siena Research Institute, which, by the way, still has not done a poll in the mayor's race, 50% of people surveyed said they believe the worst of the health crisis is over, but 36% predict the worst of the pandemic is yet to come. I'm shocked that it's that high. When asked if they think every day about protecting themselves and their families from the coronavirus, 78% of people polled said yes. The poll also showed that 41% of respondents have had some sort of disagreement with friends or relatives involving issues such as masking, social distancing, and vaccinations. And the House is still vowing to pass that social spending bill soon. That's the word not just from Joe Biden, but from Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, who says Democrats are, quote, rounding the turn. Moderate and progressives have been fighting for weeks over the price tag, which may now be cut in half. The bill could get rid of free community college and only extend the child tax credit by a year. Pelosi says while smaller, it's still historic and will make a big difference for families. You can bet we'll see some updates on this today and throughout the day as negotiations are ongoing. 5:15, as I mentioned, it was the sports equinox yesterday. Let's find out who won, who lost, and what the weekend has in store for you sports fans with Matt Sapienza. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, Frank? And good morning, everybody. Yes, indeed, it was the sports equinox. We're going to start on the baseball diamond. For a guy who dislikes drama, Chris Taylor sure provided plenty of it. Taylor hit three homers and drove in six runs, joining the likes of Reggie Jackson and Babe Ruth in October baseball lore as the Los Angeles Dodgers broke loose at the plate to beat Atlanta 11-2 on Thursday, cutting the Braves' lead to 3-2 in the best of seven NL Championship Series. A.J. Pollock had two home runs and four RBIs for the defending champion Dodgers, who have won seven straight postseason elimination games dating to last season. They also trailed 0-2 and 1-3 against Atlanta in the NLCS last year before rallying to win three straight at a neutral site in Texas. Game 6 is Saturday in Atlanta, where the Braves get two more chances to clinch their first trip to the World Series since 1999. Now over to the basketball court. Stephen Curry raised his arms and waved to acknowledge the adoring fans as shot after shot dropped through the net and screamed in celebration. No trash about it. Curry hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 6.8 seconds remaining to follow up a 30-footer less than a minute earlier, and he relished every minute of the 45-point home opener that lifted the Golden State Warriors over the Los Angeles Clippers 115-113 last night. Curry bounced back from a subpar outing in the season opener by his high standards. And that's your sports at 15-45. More to come at 5:45. I'm Matt Sapienza for the WABC Early News.
Thank you, Matt. Well done. Hopefully the Jets and Giants can pull out a rare victory this weekend. Something tells me, Joe, that that might be wishful thinking.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think they're better than they're playing, but we'll see.
It would be tough for them to be worse than they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, they're you know, I think they both have a few wins in them this year, but we'll see.
Let's hope so. Yeah, 517, traffic and transit on the 7s. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
All right, Jersey Turnpike northbound interclosed construction. The southbound outer at 8A, there is an accident. Inbound Long Island Expressway around Swamp Road. That earlier accident has now been cleared. The left lane was blocked, but still a little bit of slow traffic getting through there. Now, we do have some problems on the subways. Downtown, 6 trains on the express tracks from Porkchester to Hunts Point Avenue. That with police activity. And the Uptown N and Q are bypassing 49th Street with track maintenance. And alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. Let's get a look at weather today and this weekend with weather legend Lloyd Lindsey Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Teterboro. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young. Happy to be on board with your WABC Friday morning weather. Well, from the weather lab, things are looking pretty good. Not too bad at all for this time of the year. All of the real storm action is out in the Rocky Mountains. High pressure remains over the metro area, with the exception of a very weak cool front that'll be trickling in today. No rain. You don't need your umbrella. Just some clouds around, and you'll notice it'll be a little bit cooler. So maximum temperatures hovering right around 60. Later today, we're running in the low 50s now. So really relatively mild for this time of the year. You don't have to worry about snowy pumpkins either. The extended forecast, however, does bring in a threat of some rain showers late Monday and Tuesday, and even that is a little bit iffy. Well, we're looking good in all the neighborhoods. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC morning weather.
Thank you, Lloyd. We'll check in again with Lloyd before the end of the hour. Still to come, I have your business updates. I'll tell you what Wall Street did yesterday. We have your Jet Set Juliet travel update with Barry Goldsmith. And we'll bring you some more in terms of what's happening in all the news that's fit to listen to. But first, let us go back in time.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Well, I am not Huddy, but this is history. Time to go back in time to this day in 1879. Thomas Edison had a bright idea. The inventor perfected the carbonized cotton filament light bulb. This is just one of his 1,093 patented creations. And speaking of time, on this day in 1884, International Meridian Conference in Washington, D.C. adopted Greenwich Mean Time worldwide, creating 24 international time zones with longitude zero at the Greenwich Meridian. Various meridians were used for longitudinal references among different countries before the late 1800s, and the Greenwich Meridian was the most popular of these. The Greenwich Observatory's reputation for the reliability and accuracy in publications of its navigational data was one factor that contributed to the Greenwich Meridian's popularity. Still to come, by the way, our newsmaker from last night's Cats at Night show, a legendary national figure, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. If you didn't hear that interview, you're going to want to hear what Jesse Jackson had to say. But first, a man punched an 11-year-old girl in a New York City park on Wednesday and attacked her classmate, who tried to intervene, according to police. The victim and a few of her classmates were in Stuyvesant Square during recess when the man in black sunglasses and gray long-sleeve shirt approached them and started yelling. It's not clear what he said to the girl. And then the girl tried to attack her. He tried to attack the girl. When the girl attempted to fight back, the suspect grabbed her hair, punched her in the face, and tried to choke her. A 15-year-old student tried to help the younger victim, but he was also struck by the man, who police described as 25 to 35 years of age. After first responders arrived at the scene, The girl was taken to Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital in stable condition. According to authorities, the teen victim was treated at the park for minor injuries. Johnson & Johnson is using a bankruptcy maneuver to block lawsuits over baby powder cancer claims. Johnson & Johnson is drawing criticism after using this controversial maneuver to block roughly, ready for this, 38,000 lawsuits linked to claims that its talc baby powder was contaminated with cancer-causing asbestos. The health products giant used a quirk of Texas state law to spin off a new company called LTL, then dump all its asbestos-related liabilities, including the avalanche of lawsuits, into the new firm. LTL filed for bankruptcy last week in a federal court in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's a move designed to sharply limit efforts to recover damages for those who say they were harmed by Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. President Biden is promising to protect Taiwan if China attacks. He says the U.S. has a commitment to do that. He told a CNN town hall there's no need to worry about China's military, saying American forces are the most powerful in the world. Tensions have been rising recently with talks of China retaking Taiwan, even though the island claims it's an independent country. Leaders fear China could mount a full-scale invasion by 2025. Texas is urging the Supreme Court to leave its abortion law in place. The Justice Department is trying to block a ban on women ending their pregnancy after 6 weeks. The request was made last week, and the state responded yesterday, telling justices there's no reason to rush into this case. Lawyers point to a court of appeals allowing the nation's most restrictive abortion law to go back into effect after a lower court put it on hold. Shares in a PAC and an SPAC company linked to former President Trump's social media plans are soaring. Digital World Acquisition Corporation closed at $35.54 yesterday after climbing as high as $52, a 400% jump. More than 470 million shares changed hands. The company plans to merge with Trump's new network rolling out next year as a rival to social media giants like Twitter and Facebook. And a new study, I find this just fascinating, a new study says decades of ivory poaching has led to the evolution of elephants without tusks. The study, published in the journal Science, says a previously rare genetic mutation that causes tusklessness has become very common in some groups of African elephants. Elephants without tusks were left alone when 90% of elephants in Mozambique were wiped out during the country's civil war from 1977 to 1992. That increased the likelihood of tuskless elephants that would breed and pass on their trait to their offspring. And the leader of the Haitian gang that kidnapped Christian missionaries reportedly is threatening to kill the 16 Americans and one Canadian. In a video that circulated online yesterday, the gang leader threatened to kill the hostages if his demands aren't met. He didn't say what his demands are or provide a deadline. Earlier this week, Haiti's justice minister told the Washington Post the gang was demanding $1 million in ransom for each person. Five children are among the group affiliated with an Ohio-based ministry, including an eight-month-old baby. Well, on the lighter side of things, let's see what's happening in the world of entertainment. Let's begin with Jason Sudeikis, who is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend, and he is promising to include Ted Lasso references. Also, DJ supergroup Swedish House Mafia are ready to turn the crowd up with a new collaboration with The Weeknd and a global tour on the horizon. The trio dropped a new song and music video on Friday, melding their thumping, body-rocking beats with The Weeknd's dark cinematic vocals on Moth to a Flame. It comes as they're announcing a 44-date arena world tour in 2022 with stops in Miami, Las Vegas, Houston, Toronto, and Paris and Madrid. So that is certainly, it's not something I follow that closely, but it's certainly interesting. And if you're a fan of either The Weeknd or the Swedish House Mafia, then hopefully that's something that you find pretty interesting. What about you, Joe Nolan? Are you a fan of The Weeknd?
He's coming to Newark. Let's go. Let's get some tickets and go.
Well, so you would go see him in Newark?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well, you had me going there for a minute, Joe.
No, I don't dislike The Weeknd. I think they're fine. He's fine, rather. But, I don't know about the other ones. I've never heard of them, so.
Well, what's happening on the roads at 527? All right, well, one of the Von Trapp family children has died. Laurel Von Trapp Campbell, whose family was famously depicted in The Sound of Music, has died. The second daughter of George and Maria Von Trapp was 90 when she died in Vermont on Sunday. Her family escaped Nazi-occupied Austria in 1938 and performed concert tours across Europe and the U.S. before settling in Vermont in the early 1940s. Laurel Von Trapp Campbell was a younger stepsister of the children who were depicted in the movie and the play. All right, coming up in just a bit, we'll have a business, your Jet Set Juliet travel report, and the top five at 5:30 after these words.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, Juliet Huddy is off today, so it's just me, Frank Morano. Still to come, we will have your Jet Set Juliet travel report with Barry Goldsmith. I'll tell you what's happening in the world of business. We'll get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show with Sid Rosenberg. But first, here is your top five at 5:30.
This is the top five at five.
A Hollywood movie director is in the hospital after a shooting on set. By now, you have probably heard about this, but it is a wild story. The star and producer Alec Baldwin fired a prop gun during a scene yesterday that also killed the director of photography. This all happened at a ranch in New Mexico where the Western Rust is being filmed. It doesn't look like the pain at the pump will end anytime soon. President Biden admits there's no immediate solution and expects relief won't come until after the holidays. Every state is now above the $3 mark, with California drivers paying the most at $4.54 a gallon. And Pennsylvania will begin honoring victims of a synagogue shooting this weekend. Wednesday will mark 3 years since a man allegedly opened fire and killed 11 people and injured 7 others. Police say he talked about killing Jews. He faces more than 60 federal charges. And finally, a convicted killer in Alabama is no longer breathing. Willie Smith was executed last night for kidnapping a woman from an ATM from an ATM and shooting her at a cemetery. The Supreme Court first blocked the execution in February, but this time refused to hear an 11th hour appeal. And that's your top five. At 5:30. Well, we have been telling you all about the weeks-long search for Brian Laundry. Now it appears the search for Laundry, a person of interest in the death of his girlfriend, Gabby Petito, while the couple was on a cross-country road trip, came to an end yesterday as human remains found in a Florida nature preserve were confirmed to the remains. A backpack and notebook believed to belong to Laundry were discovered Wednesday in a Florida wilderness park. That's according to the FBI. The area where they were found had been underwater during earlier searches. An endangered Sumatran orangutan at the New Orleans Zoo is expecting twins. Minari, the zoo's 12-year-old female Sumatran orangutan, is expecting twins whose father is Jambi, the zoo's male orangutan. The zoo announced Thursday that McLean said that twinning is extremely rare in orangutans, with there being only about a 1% chance of it happening. And a 66-million-year-old Triceratops skeleton, the world's biggest, has sold for $7.7 million. The skeleton, known as Big John, was found in South Dakota in 2014. No word yet on who purchased Big John, at least none that I can see, but clearly somebody who has quite an interest in triceratops and dinosaurs in general. North Carolina residents need to check their lottery tickets, as they could be one of over they could be one of over 10,000 top prize winners from a recent drawing. The winning numbers from the Carolina Pick 3 drawing Tuesday were 5, 5, 5. Lottery officials say those who bought 50-cent tickets will win $250, while those who bought $1 tickets will win $500. All told, players won $4.3 million in prize money from this drawing. So I know we have a lot of listeners in North Carolina. Hopefully, a lot of listeners who like the number five. A loose animal in an Arizona town is making residents keep their distance. On Tuesday, the Tucson Police Department said a bull was discovered in a neighborhood in front of a house. The large animal was blocked by patrol vehicles until ranchers were able to safely catch the bovine. It's unclear how the bull got loose in the first place. And a slithering reptile is now in the custody of Illinois police. On Wednesday, authorities in Wheaton, about 30 miles west of Chicago, caught a ball python in the Herrick Lake Forest Preserve. The animal was apparently discovered underneath a car. Officers took to Facebook to show a picture of the snake and reminded residents that it's against the law to set free pets or wildlife into the forest preserves. A whale is safe and sound. A lot of animal news this morning. A whale is safe and sound thanks to a group of fishermen in California. KGTV reporting the mammal was discovered around 100 miles off the coast of San Diego and was reportedly caught in a lobster trap, if you could believe that. One of the fishermen, Matt Capron, was able to release the whale after jumping into the water and cutting it free. Capron said after getting untangled, the whale swam off but came back moments later. He noted it was one of the highlights of his life. So we're keeping an eye on that whale of a tale and a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, Wisconsin's attorney general is asking a judge to stop part of the investigation into last year's election. Attorney General Josh Call yesterday asked a Dane County judge to declare the subpoenas from former Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman unenforceable. Gabelman subpoenaed the mayors of Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, Kenosha, along with the head of the state's Elections Commission as part of his investigation into the lead-up to Election Day. Cal says the subpoenas are invalid because Gabelman wants to interview the mayors and election officials in private instead of before a legislative committee. Gabelman's investigation is one of two in the legislature that's looking into last year's vote. 5:37, let's get a look at traffic and transit on the 7s with Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe. All right, let's get a look at weather with legendary weather broadcaster Lloyd Lindsey Young. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Brooklyn and Williamsburg. Good morning, everybody. Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC weather. Hey, we're looking pretty good. We do have a weak cool front coming in later today. Not going to amount to too much. It's just some clouds, no precipitation. Satellite imagery, Doppler radar does not indicate that. Then weak high pressure will return for the weekend. So you'll notice it'll be a bit cooler today. Maximums 60, 65, right in that neighborhood. Your overnight lows, pretty mild, 50 to 55. The only threat of a little rain would be late Monday and Tuesday of next week as a slightly stronger cool front moves in. Right now, the jury is still kind of out on that. We may get a little, it'll either be a little bit or nothing. Overall, in general, considering what the calendar said, hey, we're looking good in all the neighborhoods. Happy to be on board, Lloyd Lindsey Young with your WABC morning weather.
Biz Buzz.
Well, there is quite a bit happening in the world of business. The opening Wall Street closed with stocks mixed as the S&P 500 finished at a record high as it was boosted by strong earnings reports. Tesla posted record earnings and revenue in the third quarter that came in above expectations. Meantime, IBM lost ground after missing revenue in the third quarter. Jobless claims fell to a new pandemic low, coming in at 290,000. That's lower than the estimate of 300,000. At the closing bell, the Dow fell by 6 points. The S&P 500 gained 13. The NASDAQ added 94 points. Officials at the Federal Reserve won't be allowed to own individual stocks. That's part of a policy update issued by the Fed on Thursday. It comes amidst controversy over policymakers buying and selling stocks as the Fed was trying to help the market during the coronavirus pandemic. Two regional Federal Reserve presidents have resigned following news of their trades coming to light. And Elon Musk could become the world's first trillionaire. That's the word from Morgan Stanley, who says that not because of the Tesla CEO's work with the car company, but because of his work with SpaceX. He says the SpaceX reusable Starship rockets have the potential to transform investor expectations about the space industry. Time now for the Jet Set Juliet travel report. Jet Set Juliet is off in Italy today, but here to help break down some sights in our nation's capital, we are joined by Barry Goldsmith, a unique travel expert who's brought his unique concept, been there, haven't done that, recommending sites around the world missed by tourists and even by many natives, to his travel column, his radio show, his podcast. And now he's here with me on WABC. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Frank, and thanks for having me. Today, I think we're going to go to Washington, D.C. It's been in the news very much lately, since January. In fact, maybe too much. So I'm going to take you away from the Capitol, and I'm going to show you some great sites in Washington that most natives don't even know. So how's about starting at Tudor Place? We're going to visit homes associated with presidents. Tudor Place in Georgetown was the home of George Washington and Martha Custis Washington's grandchildren. It's built in a federal style. It is one of the most beautiful buildings in all of Washington, and it's never visited. And these sites are great for another reason, because during the pandemic, you don't want to be with crowds. The next place is associated with another president. It's Lincoln's Cottage in North Washington. It's in the old soldier's home, and it's where Abraham Lincoln spent the summers of 1862 to 64, and where he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation. And then let's go to the 20th century, Woodrow Wilson House. It's the townhouse of Woodrow Wilson, where his widow, Edith Bolt Wilson, lived until the 1960s, and many presidents' wives, the first ladies, actually went to have tea with her. Through the last one was Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis.
Hmm.
Now, yeah, thank you. And now let's get away from the Smithsonian on the Mall. And there's enough of Washington associated with being mauled, right?
Right, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you. There's a great collection called a museum called the Phillips Collection, and it was built by a millionaire, not a trillionaire, but a millionaire in 1921. So it's celebrating its centenary. It was built in his Georgian townhouse. It's right in the DuPont Circle area of Washington, and the Phillips family were the first to buy Braque Cubist paintings and very modernist paintings. And then through the first half of the 20th century, they started buying masterpieces from Renoir, even old masters. So unlike other museums, you can go there. It's never crowded. Plus, it was added to, and it's just a great museum.
It sounds it, yeah.
Yeah. Another one is Hillwood House. Hillwood House was the home of Marjorie Meriwether Post. Now, if that name is familiar, one of her other homes in Florida is very well known. And you know what it is?
I have the foggiest.
Thank you. She was the owner of Mar-a-Lago.
Is that true?
Yes, it is. And Hillwood House was her Washington home. It's in an isolated area. It's a beautiful area overlooking Rock Creek Park. It's got a formal garden, and it's got a Japanese garden, very much like the Huntington Museum in Pasadena. Plus, she was married to Ambassador Davies, and he was an ambassador, to first ambassador to the Soviet Union, appointed by FDR. And they got a bargain basement of tchotchkes from Stalin. So she brought back Romanov paintings, and you know the famous Fabergé eggs? You don't have to go to Moscow to see them in the armory there. You can go to Hillwood House. Plus, she's got lots of furniture from another revolution, the French Revolution. And Hillwood House is a fantastic museum. And like Tudor Place, it's a beautiful building unto itself. And then there's Dumbarton Oaks, also in Georgetown. Dumbarton Oaks was a wonderful home by the Bliss family. And when you say Bliss, it is a Bliss just being there. It's also very historic. It was Dumbarton Oaks was the scene of another great historical event. It was where the United Nations was first thought of. There was a conference, and then it was ratified in 1945 at San Francisco.
That is something. We're going to have to end it there. Barry Goldsmith, if people want to get in touch with you or read more about your writings on travel, what's the best place for them to do that?
Barry, B-A-R-Y dot Goldsmith, G-O-L-D-S-M-I-T-H at NYU dot E-D-U.
Well, 5:45. Thank you, Barry Goldsmith. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
All right, thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. For a guy who dislikes drama, Chris Taylor sure provided plenty of it. Taylor hit 3 homers and drove in 6 runs, joining the likes of Reggie Jackson and Babe Ruth in October baseball lore as the Los Angeles Dodgers broke loose at the plate to beat Atlanta 11-2 last night, cutting the Braves' lead to 3-2 in the best-of-7 NL Championship Series. A.J. Pollock had 2 home runs and 4 RBIs for the defending champion Dodgers, who have won 7 straight postseason elimination games to dating till last season. They also trailed 0-2 and 1-3 against Atlanta in the NLCS last year before rallying to win 3 straight at a neutral site in Texas. Game 6 is Saturday in Atlanta, where the Braves get 2 more chances to clinch their first trip to the World Series since 1999. A very exciting series that is. And that's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great weekend. We'll see you right back here on Monday.
Hey.
All right, we have some more headlines coming your way in just a bit. And Sid Rosenberg is here to give you a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. But first, we have some messages from these guys.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, Juliet is off today. She is enjoying Italy. She has arrived safely in Italy and is currently on her way to Milan. She'll be back with us before you know it. We'll chat with Sid Rosenberg in just a few minutes, get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. Let me tell you what's coming up this weekend. It's the best of this week on the Greg Kelly Show, Saturday, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. You can listen to WABC as we play back some of Greg Kelly's best moments from the week. You can download the 77 WABC app or just simply listen at WABCradio.com. Don't miss it. Saturday at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m., the best of this week on the Greg Kelly Show. Well, the story you're going to be hearing about all day and all weekend, and for the foreseeable future, I would imagine, a Hollywood movie director is in the hospital after a shooting on set. Star and producer Alec Baldwin fired a prop gun during a scene yesterday that also killed the director of photography. She was flown to a hospital, but unfortunately couldn't be saved. This all happened at a ranch in New Mexico where the Western Rust is being filmed. Production has since halted and no word on when it will resume. The sheriff's office says no charges have yet been filed, but you can bet that this will be an ongoing investigation. And here in New York, a number of stories that we are keeping an eye on, including guess who's in town? The vice president That's right. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in the Bronx today to help push President Biden's infrastructure bill. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra will join her for the Bronx visit. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and Congressman Jamal Bowman are expected to be by the vice president's side during the trip. Harris continues to push the multi-trillion-dollar infrastructure plan that would help pay to fix roads, bridges, and transit systems across the country that needs repairs and major upgrades. And the annual Al Smith Dinner, a huge fundraiser for the Archdiocese of New York, was fully back in person this year, and some of New York's most well-known politicians showed up. The dinner took place at the Jacob Javits Center. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice gave the keynote speech. The dinner was hosted by Fox's Maria Bartiromo, Governor Kathy Hochul, Mayor Bill de Blasio, and New York State Attorney General Tish James could be seen talking to one another last night. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea, who was here last night, or yesterday, for the Back the Blue press conference, former Governor George Pataki, and former Mayor Mike Bloomberg were also on the large dais. One of the VIPs that was not on hand, though, was Sid Rosenberg. Thankfully, though, you will get to hear him in all his glory in just 8 minutes. Good morning, Sid.
Good morning. A beautiful picture of me with Dermot Shea yesterday.
Yes,
a bunch
nice.
Of pictures and videos, yes. It was a great event, the press conference after the show yesterday, and never really spoke to Shea before. He was on with us when we did the show live from the feast, me and Piscopo, John. John talks to him all the time.
Right.
I never really spoke
friends.
To the guy before, yeah. And he was enthusiastically nice.
I wonder if John was at this Al Smith dinner. I know he's gone in the past. I wonder if
I'm sure he was.
I wonder if he was. You're right. That's always the safe bet.
I mean, that's, yeah. He's the man. I mean, it's unbelievable when you speak to people around this city, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter. The respect that this guy has earned, and that's the word earned, deserved, is over the top.
No question about it. No question about it. What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show this morning?
Only one guest today, and that's going to be Laura Curran. She's running against Bruce Plakeman, who was on the show a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, that's nice to have both candidates.
I agree
with
you.
Let people make their own decisions.
I actually like both candidates in this race. I'm not a big Todd Kominsky fan of the race against Ann Donnelly, but in this race, I like them both. I've actually got to know Laura a little more than even Bruce, although Bruce has been very nice the last couple of weeks. I've done two events with him. I have an event with Laura tomorrow. So she's going to join us coming up at 8:40 this morning, again running for Nassau County Executive. And that's it for the guests. We have a lot to discuss today, obviously, a lot.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin killing someone.
Yes, Alec Baldwin killed somebody, right. You know, it's funny. It was an accident. And it was a prop gun, and he killed somebody and injured somebody else. But it seems to me like even if you kill somebody by accident, there needs to be some price to be paid.
Well, I mean,
somebody's dead.
There frequently is. I mean, that's what manslaughter is all about. Right?
But he's not going to get that. He's Alec Baldwin. Yeah, he does a very good Donald Trump impression, so he's good to go.
The funniest tweet I saw all weekend, or all day, was Eli Lake from Bloomberg tweeting that Saturday Night Live should get Donald Trump to play Alec Baldwin this weekend. How funny would that be?
That is funny.
That would be.
That is brilliant,
that
actually.
I don't think
brilliant.
Saturday Night Live would do it. I don't think Trump would do it, but it would be funny.
Yeah.
Hey, we know what I've been meaning to ask you about. You're a sports
I'm nervous.
Aficionado.
Okay,
no,
good.
It's
sports.
Easy. So we had that bad call in the Dodgers-Giants game, Game 5, the checked swing.
Yeah.
And now
that was the former Met Wilmer Flores.
I know. Yes. Now somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
There's this big movement now towards Bernie can come in. He's banging at the door like he's in a zoo.
He's in a good mood, Bernie.
That's
Friday. He loves Fridays, my man.
Who can blame him?
Yeah.
But now there's this whole movement for robot umpires.
Stop it.
What's your take?
I don't like robot anything. I don't like robot toll collectors. I don't like robot umpires. I want people to work. That's the bottom line. And especially with baseball, because the beauty about baseball, believe it or not, is a human mistake. I love the human mistake.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong?
I agree with you.
Now, of course, if I'm a Met fan, I get screwed on the call. I'm going to bitch about it for weeks. But the human mistake in baseball is part of the tradition and part of the authenticity of the game. Who needs Bob Costas? You've got me.
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, tomorrow I've got this event with Laura Curran on Long Island tomorrow morning. And then Sunday.
What sort of event is it?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I'm getting the specifics this morning.
Candor. Okay.
Yeah. And then Sunday, I'm hosting a 4-hour event for Lee Zeldin in Ronkonkoma, New York. So here I've gone from, you know, Sundays would be football all day, which I usually do, to be honest. Jets, Giants, and Saturday would be college football. Now I'm in demand to host these political events.
It's funny. Bernie all weekend is hosting sports events. all over Manhattan.
That's right. Bernie's going to host the Eli Manning lunch in Munaki on Saturday. Right.
Joe Nolan is pretty nervous about the Jets this weekend.
As he should be. Yes. New England's going to kill them. And the Devils lost last night, so all is good.
As long as they cover, right?
As long as they cover.
That's right. I forgot, Joe. You must be in mourning over the Devils.
No, half the team was hurt. It's all right. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Well, then the loss
you didn't say
count.
That before the game yesterday, tough guy, when they were 2-0.
What are you talking about?
All right, let's hear the traffic.
I don't remember that.
Margaret DeLulo will soon turn 107 years old, God bless her, and she has a secret to her longevity. She has one beer every day. To celebrate her upcoming 107th birthday, Yingling delivered her an early present yesterday of almost 500 cans of its traditional lager to her Spring Township home in Pennsylvania. DeLulo credits her long life to drinking one beer a day, and Debbie Yingling is the brewery's employee engagement and culture manager and says customers like DeLulo are why they make beer. Well, if she is living to 107, drinking one beer a day, I am hoping drinking three or four glasses of bourbon or gin a day will help me live at least that long. All right. The Bernie and Sid show is coming up next. Brian Kilmeade coming up at 10. I'm going to be back on Sunday evening into Monday morning at 1 a.m. Got a great show for you 1 a.m. On Monday morning. I believe we're scheduled to be joined by a legendary actor, Dennis Quaid. And then I'll be back here Monday at 5 a.m. to bring you all the latest news that you're going to be talking about all weekend. You want to stay in touch, you can email me, especially if there's any important news stories in your area that I should be aware of, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. It's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. And I'm on Twitter as well, @FrankMorano. Have a great week. Great weekend, everybody. I will see you back here on Monday. The Bernie and Sid show is next, right after 77 seconds of news with the great Deb Valentine.